Morning. This morning's first reading will be taken from Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 to 15, and that can be found on page 12 of the Church Bibles. They said to him, that is, the Lord to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent, the Lord." And the Lord said, "I will surely return to you this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child, now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will return to you, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "No, but you did laugh." And the second reading will be taken from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, and that can be found on page 15 of the Church Bibles. The Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said Abraham and that Sarah would nurse children, yet have borne him a son in his old age?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we're in Genesis chapter 21. And at last, Sarah gives birth to a son, just as God has promised. Now, this is a key moment in the life of Abraham. It's a central point in the story, because Abraham has been waiting 25 years, and we've been waiting 10 chapters for God to fulfill his promise. You see, way back in Genesis 12, you might remember that God promised to give Abraham a son. And then in chapter 15, he reiterated that promise. Then he came to him again in chapter 17 and said, "You're going to have a son and you're going to call him Isaac." Then he came again in chapter 18, saying similar things. And now in chapter 21, a year later, Sarah finally has a son. And that son, Isaac, means laughter. And Sarah says in verse 6, "God has brought laughter into my life." It's a play on words here. God has made her laugh. And actually, through Isaac, this son of laughter, God is going to bring laughter not just to Sarah's life, but to the whole world. So our passage this morning is all about Isaac. It's all about laughter. In fact, laughter, I think, is not just the meaning of this passage, but the meaning of the whole Bible. In fact, I think it's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is laughter. God likes to laugh. And he wants to make you laugh this morning as well. So let me ask you this morning, do you want to laugh? Do you want your life to be filled with joy and laughter? Do you want God to bring laughter into your life like he did to Sarah here? Because that's what this passage is about. It's about the fact that God does that and can do that to you as well. So So if you want laughter in your life this morning, there's three things that we need to consider about this laughter. Three things from the passage. First of all, we need to consider the laughter of unbelief. Second, the laughter of grace. And finally, how God can make you laugh. The laughter of unbelief, the laughter of grace, and how God can make you laugh. First of all, the laughter of unbelief. Sarah says, very clearly, God has made me laugh. He's brought laughter into my life. Now, we will only understand what she says in verse 6 if we remember that this is not the first time that we've seen Sarah laughing in the book of Genesis. In our first reading from Genesis 18, Sarah laughs. You see, in Genesis 18, God comes and visits Abraham. He has lunch with him, and then after lunch, God says to Abraham, Abraham, you are going to have a son. You're going to call him Isaac. Now, Sarah is at the tent door, and she overhears what God is saying, and her response is to laugh. She doesn't accept what God says. It's quite remarkable for a moment. You know, God comes and has lunch with you. It's not very often that God has lunch with anybody. God comes and has lunch with you. You hear his words, and you laugh at him. That's how she responds. She says to herself, in verse 12 of chapter 18, she says, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have any pleasure? What's she saying? She's saying, look, I'm over 90. I'm past the menopause. My husband's almost 100. We're not going to have any sexual pleasure at our age, let alone have a child. It's impossible. You're having a laugh. Now, why does she respond like that? Why does she laugh at God's promise to her? You see, God has come to Sarah with a wonderful promise. It's beyond her wildest dreams. You know, God is going to give her son. This is what she's always wanted. You know, Sarah's been barren for 90 years. You know, barrenness is hard. Maybe you feel it particularly today because it's Mother's Day. Well, barrenness was very hard 4,000 years ago because a woman's identity back then was tied up with having children. And for 90 years, she's not been able to have children. She's past the age of having children. It's impossible. And so she laughs. She laughs because the gap between the promise and her reality, the promise of a son and her barrenness, is too big. The gap's too wide. And so she laughs as a defense mechanism. Her life has been a life of disappointment. And so she's not going to clutch at this straw that God offers her. She laughs out of hopelessness. She's afraid to believe. She laughs out of unbelief. Now, I think that Sarah's response here is not an uncommon response to Christianity. I remember a few years ago driving in to Gorton Cemetery. I was conducting a funeral and I was talking to a couple of guys in the car about the Christian faith. And I said to them as we were going into the cemetery, I said, yeah, you know, Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. Dead people do come back to life. In fact, because he rose from the dead, one day everybody's going to rise from the dead. And all the bodies in all these tombs are going to rise from the dead. And those who I was talking to, there was silence. And I looked in their eyes, and it was like they were laughing. There was like a chuckle. They were like, pull the other one. You know, you're having a laugh. Why do people respond like that to the Christian faith? Why do people laugh in unbelief? You see, if the gospel is small and insignificant, then people wouldn't laugh at it. They would pity it. You know, if the gospel is... is bad, then people will despise it. If the gospel's hard, people would fear it. If the gospel is unreasonable, then people would argue against it. Why laugh at it? It's not because it's small or hard or bad or unreasonable. It's because it's wonderful. It's because the promises are of God are so good and so wonderful. You see, the gospel message is that this world is messed up. And in our mess, we cannot do anything to rescue ourselves and to sort the world out. But God, in his mercy and in his love, has come into the world in the person of his Son to deal with that mess, to take it upon himself at the cross, to be punished for our mess and for our sin, so that you and I, simply through turning away from all the things we trust in and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, can come back to God, can be forgiven, can be reconciled to him, can know his Spirit in our life and can be led by him throughout our life. And we know that if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, then this life is not all that there is. There is a world to come, a new world which you and I will be part of, a world without anything that makes you sad, without anything that's bad, a world of joy and happiness forever, a physical world where we will laugh and where we will play and where we will love forever and forever and forever. And that's the gospel. And we simply receive it, not by working hard, not trying to be good, but simply through faith. That's the message. And that is wonderful. Why would you want to laugh at that message? You see, that's not a message that's unreasonable. It's not a message that's sad. It's not a message that's going to cause problems in the world. It's a message that's going to bring joy. Don't you want that message to be true? If you're here this morning and you're skeptical at Christianity, don't you want it to be true? Don't you want that world to come? Don't you want to know God and to know his forgiveness in your life? But I think too many people hear that message and laugh because they think it's too good to be true. It's just too unbelievable. It's not unreasonable, otherwise people would provide arguments against it, and Christianity for the past 2,000 years would have been disproved. It's too good to be true. And so the natural temptation of the human heart is not to believe it. How can God love me? How can God want a relationship with me? How on earth can all these problems in the world be fixed and this world be transformed to become the perfect world again? How it's too good to be true. And so people are skeptical. They don't want to give over their life to God and put their hope in his promises. It's easier to laugh at Christianity than to allow yourself to hope. But as we will see in this passage, as we see in this passage, God always keeps his promises. God is a God of hope who wants us to hope in him, who wants to bring laughter into our life, who wants to bring joy into our life. God wants to change your life from a life characterized by the laughter of unbelief and hopelessness to the laughter of hope and grace. And that's what we see has happened to Sarah here. That's the second thing I want us to see, is the laughter of grace. Sarah, first of all, laughs in unbelief at the promises of God. But here she says in verse 6, God has made laughter for me. In fact, she says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. We don't see this in English, but in the Hebrew, this is a mini poem. It's a song. Sarah expresses her laughter and joy at God's fulfillment of his promise by singing. You see, God has changed Sarah's laughter because God has changed Sarah. Sarah's hopeless laughter has now become a laughter that is hope-filled. And why? Because God has fulfilled his promise, just as he always does. We're reminded of that three times. In verse 1, we're told, the Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived at the time of which God had spoken. God says it, it's done. He makes a promise, he fulfills a promise. That's what God does. And Sarah now sees that God has fulfilled the promise. And she laughs. You know, we find it hard to believe at times that someone can fulfill their promises because we let each other down. We make promises to each other and we don't keep our promises. But God makes promises to us and always keeps those promises. He did what he said he would do. You know, even though she's too old to have a child, even though it's naturally and physically impossible, God performs a miracle. God enables her to have a child, and not just any child, but the child of promise, the child of laughter. God gives her the child through his grace. You see, God's grace has changed Sarah's laugh. Sarah's still laughing now, but she's laughing in a very different way. And just as Sarah's laughter was changed by God's grace, so your skeptical laughter, if you're skeptical this morning, can be changed by God's grace. See, God's grace can change our laughter to a true laughter of hope and joy in a similar way to what he's done with Sarah. Not by necessarily giving us the thing that we most desire. A child, if we're barren. Or that dream that we have. But by fulfilling all our dreams and all our ultimate desires through the ultimate son of laughter, Jesus Christ himself. You see, 2,000 years later, another baby is going to be born. 2,000 years after this, another angel is going to appear to another woman. But this time, it's not a woman who's over 90. It's a woman who doesn't know a guy, who's a teenager. And God comes to her and gives her a baby, miraculously. The real Isaac was born 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate son of laughter. He's the ultimate son of promise who brings laughter into the world. How does he bring laughter into the world? By dealing with all the mess and all the brokenness which makes us skeptical. See, why are we skeptical so often of the promises of God? Because we look around at the world and the mess in the world and go, how on earth can these things be sorted out? How on earth is God going to turn all this sadness to joy? How on earth can God redeem and remake this broken world? Well, he can because he sent Jesus Christ to die for this broken world. In fact, when Jesus Christ came into the world, he came into the brokenness. He came into the mess. And when he went to the cross, he bore the brokenness and mess on himself. See, what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? When he died on the cross, God turned his face away from him. His face of blessing, his face of joy. Jesus Christ on the cross lost God's smile. He was punished by God in our place. Under his judgment, he experienced God's frown so you can experience God's smile. He experienced God's anger so you can be a friend of God again. He died crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? So you could have the laughter of God in your life, not just today, but forever. And we receive that simply by turning from everything which we would seek to gain ultimate joy and happiness in, and to turn to Jesus Christ. To see God's grace in Jesus Christ. To see what he's done for us. To put our hope in him alone. You see, if you see what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you see that he experienced God's frown so that you can experience God's smile, and God's blessing forever, that changes the way you live. It changes your laughter. You see, if you see how he became sorrowful, then you can see how you can have joy. See, when you accept God's grace for yourself, it brings joy and laughter into your life. The laughter of hope. The laughter of grace. That's the third thing I want us to see. You might ask, how does it happen? How can God make laughter, bring laughter into my life and make me laugh? Let me give you four ways as we finish. Four ways that God's grace can bring laughter into your life. God's grace will bring laughter into your life by making you laugh at yourself. You know, when God's grace came to Sarah, what does she say in verse 7? She says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? And yet I have borne him a son in his old age. You know, what's she saying about herself? She's saying, look, I'm a grandmother's age. And yet now I'm a mum. You know, me, a mum at 90. You know, are you having a laugh? This is hilarious. She laughs at herself. She says, who would have thought it? You know, when God's grace comes into your life, when God's amazing grace comes into your life, you begin to laugh at yourself in a way you've never done before. Because you say to yourself, how on earth can God love me? And God be gracious to me? But he has been. And someone might say to you, you know, really? How on earth can you be a Christian? The way you live your life, the things that you do, the, you know. And the response, of course, is, I know. It's hilarious. Me, a Christian. Me, a complete mess, and yet loved by God. It's a joke. But that's God. God's into laughter. You know, and God wants you to laugh about that as well. He's got a great sense of humor. As a Christian, you should laugh. Your life should be filled with laughter. You should laugh at yourself. You shouldn't take yourself seriously. Because God doesn't take you seriously. Because he brings people who are complete messes and loves them. And shows them grace. You know, the 11th commandment is not, you know, you shall constantly frown and be serious in your life. You should laugh. God has made you to laugh. To laugh at yourself. You know, no other created being laughs at themselves. Angels don't laugh at themselves. Dogs don't find themselves funny. You know, woodpeckers don't tell knock-knock jokes. None of my chickens laugh when one of them says, why did the human cross the road? You know, but we were made to laugh. You're not made to take yourself seriously. You're to love you to go, you know, look, I'm a complete mess in my life. I mess up again and again and again. I do this and that's just ridiculous. And I do that and, you know, everyone finds it's, I'm just silly, aren't I? I'm an idiot, I'm a numpty. And yet God loves me. It's hilarious. You know, one of the signs of good spiritual health, test yourself. It's that you can laugh. You can laugh at yourself. You can laugh at the fact that God has made you a Christian. You see, when God's grace comes into your life, it brings laughter into your life because you can laugh at yourself. But you can also laugh at your past. You know, why does Sarah call her son Isaac? Well, for one reason, it's because God, in chapter 17 and chapter 18, told her to call him Isaac. But there's another reason. You see, every time she would call her son, Isaac, come here. Every time she called his name, she would be laughing at herself. Because it would remind her of her past failure. You know, when God's grace came to her, when God's promise came to her, in chapter 18, she laughs. She laughs at God. And God says, I want you to call your son Laughter. You're laughing at me? Call him laughter. And so every time she called his name, laughter. Come here. She's laughing at herself, laughing in the past at God's promises. She's saying to herself, wasn't I a loser? Wasn't I an idiot in the past, laughing at God's promises? You know, God has the last laugh, doesn't he? She laughs at her previous failures, her previous unbelief. You know, so often as a Christian, when we think about our past, you know, when we think about the things we've done and the things we haven't done, we can wallow in guilt and shame like a pig wallows in mud. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to look at our past failures, to look them in the eye and go, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was an idiot. Yeah, I have been addicted to this. Yeah, you know, I have said those things and done those things, but they've gone now. Jesus Christ took those things on himself at the cross with all the guilt and the shame that goes along with them. And so I'm free. And when people accuse you of things that you've done in the past, or when Satan comes and accuses you, you can say, yes, well may the accuser roar of things that I have done. I know them all, and thousands more. But the Lord, he knoweth none. You can laugh at your past. You can also laugh at the world. When God's grace comes into your life, you can laugh at the world. You see, the Christian message seems laughable to the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is laughable, that God would bring salvation through a 90-year-old woman. It's laughable that God would bring salvation through an unmarried teenage girl. It's laughable that God would bring salvation through an instrument of torture like the cross. It's foolishness to the world, and people laugh at it. And when Christianity is laughed at, when the gospel is laughed at, then it can raise doubts in your mind. You know, am I really believing the right thing by believing the gospel? People are laughing at it. You know, and the way that I live my life as a Christian, people are laughing at it. You know, and you can question whether you're doing the right thing and believing the right thing and going the right way. Because it's foolishness to the world. But actually, when that happens, what's God's response? What's God's response to the way that the world lives? It's to laugh. And he wants you to laugh at the wisdom of the world as well. I was up a ladder yesterday pruning my wisteria. I know it's a month too late. I should have done it in February. But I was at the top of the ladder and thinking to myself as I was there and holding on for dear life, this is the only alternative to the Christian faith, to the gospel. It's climbing a ladder. That's what his life's all about here, other than the gospel. You climb the ladder of self-improvement. You climb the ladder of success. You climb the ladder of power. You climb the ladder of getting more money. You kind of climb the ladder of popularity. You climb the ladder. How does God look at that? He goes, you've not got very far. You know, when we see the world trying to climb these ladders and trying to make something of life and without God, we're to laugh. You know, do you think you're going to get somewhere by climbing that ladder? You know, are you step by step on your way to heaven? You know, let's improve ourselves one rung at a time. But we're meant to laugh at the world's wisdom because that's what God does. We laugh at the way that the world says, you know, do this and then do this and then do this and then do this and then do this. And then you might get to improve yourself so much that you've made it. Or your religious activities that make it all the way to heaven. It can't be done. And we're to laugh at it and go, that's ridiculous. It's never going to work. There's no way that we can climb the ladder to heaven. Heaven's got to come down to us. And it does come down to us. in a ridiculous way. See, we're not only to laugh at the world's wisdom, we're to laugh with God at his wisdom. What's God's wisdom? It's foolishness to the world. You know? Salvation through the cross. Ridiculous. It's true. Laughable. It is. But God has the last laugh. Because he makes it possible for us to come to God. But finally, God's grace enables us to laugh at the future. When God brings the fulfillment of his promise to Sarah, it brings hope into her life. Because she can now trust God to fulfill all his promises. All his promises are going to come true. God is going to bring her through every difficulty, fulfill everything that he said to her, and bring her ultimately to himself in heaven. And that is true for you and me as well. You see, the future endangers our laughter because we can look at the future and become anxious and fearful and worried. We don't know what the future is going to hold. And, you know, when we go to that doctor's appointment, what's going to be said? You know, in 5 years' time, where will I be? But you see, if you remember that God has fulfilled his ultimate promise by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, then you can see that God will fulfill every promise to you. He will bring you through every trial, every danger. We sing about it, don't we, in that song, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, trials and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me safe this far. And grace will lead me home. There's no doubt about it. Why is there no doubt about it? Because he's given us his son, Jesus Christ. He's fulfilled his promises ultimately in him. And so nothing in life is going to block him fulfilling those things in our lives and in practice by bringing us to him in heaven. There's nothing. What obstacle can stand in our way? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing will ever separate us from him and from his love for us. And so we can look at the future. You can look at the future. You can look at this week. You can look at the stuff coming up this month or later this year without fear, without anxiety. Because you know that your life is in God's hands and God is at work to do you good and God will do you good because he has done you the ultimate good in Jesus Christ. See, Sarah looked at Isaac and laughed. If you look at Jesus Christ, and if you keep looking at Jesus Christ, then God will bring laughter into your life as well. Let me pray. Gracious Father, you want us to laugh. You want us to laugh about ourselves. You want us to laugh about the gospel. You want us to laugh about the fact that you are a promise-keeping God. Help us to believe your promises. Help us to trust in Jesus Christ. And may your grace bring laughter into our life. And help us to live a life of laughter. And when people ask us, why are you living like this? How can you be full of laughter at a time like this? So help us to be able to point them to you, the God of laughter, who wants to make the whole world resound with laughter and joy, and who will do that one day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.